All right, look what it says here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, that not only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. All right, now we're talking on the subject still. We're talking on possessing our inheritance. Possessing our inheritance. And this that we're going into today is called receiving our inheritance. Now, let's kind of digress just a minute, because I want to make sure that everybody is up on the same page here in terms of the things that God is speaking to us about through this teaching. He's saying here in verse 13 that Abraham was the heir of the world. And he's saying this is not just to Abraham, but this is to Abraham and his seed. Abraham and his seed. And then he said in verse 16, therefore to faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, the faith that he's talking about here, he goes on and defines it. He said, it is the faith of Abraham. Now, I can tell you right now, that faith that he's talking about here is the God kind of faith. Now, that is opposed to the human kind of faith. It's talking about the God kind of faith, and we'll go into that in just a minute. Then he says, as it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That is God's way, calling things that be not as though they were. All right, so where do we start here in terms of just catching up to where we are right now? We're talking about possessing our inheritance, and part of that is that we are heirs of the world. This is for Abraham and to his seed. And an heir is somebody that has inherited something. Now, where do we get it from? We got it from our benefactor, the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament is the last will and testament and describes what the Lord Jesus left us in the will. Everything he left for us in terms of what we can be, what we can have, and what we can do. Now, what we need to do is consult that, because that now becomes very important in terms of us being able to possess our inheritance. When the first group came out of Egypt and they did not go in to possess the inheritance, God was not pleased. So God wants us to possess our inheritance. What Jesus died to provide, God wants you to have. And so now, as we go in here, we see some of the things that he has left for us. Now, one of the things that we had to discover in and through this is the fact that the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. And where we did, we started with that by going over to the book of Joel. The book of Joel, if we'll just turn there, you can look on the screen. They'll put the scriptures on the screen. And Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And I won't read all of this, but this goes on to talk about, in fact, what we, who we are as a church. It says, verse 1, blow the trumpet, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. So we're not talking about the first coming of Christ. We're not talking about when he was born in a manger. We're talking about the second coming. The day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong there has not been ever like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. And what we said, there has never been anything like the church, and there has never been anything like after the church leaves, like it after it's leave, it leaves. It is here for a purpose. And so now, if you'll just take it and in your own time, read all the way down, and you can read all the way down through verse 8. It says in verse 8, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his paths, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be what? Wounded. So we said the church is unstoppable. The church is invincible. The church is indestructible, and the church is indispensable. Now, when we're talking about that, first of all, we're talking about the power of the church here, that the church here in this time is going to come. And Jesus said this to Peter, upon this rock I will build my what? Church, and the gates of what? Hell shall not prevail against it. And so we read over in Daniel chapter 2 where it said that there was a statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about, and Daniel interpreted his dream. And in that statue, it was built up with a head of gold, arms and breasts of silver, belly and thighs of brass, and legs of iron and feet of iron and clay, until a stone was hewed out without hands. That stone is this stone that he's talking about here, and it hit this image on the foot, and everything shattered, and then that stone or mountain filled the whole earth. So the kingdom of God is going to fill the whole earth. Into its increase, it shall be no end. So God is bringing you here to put in divine order some things that have been out of order, and God's going to use you to dispossess squatters and dismantle systems. And so now what we talked about is the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. We said that what God is doing now with us is he's taking control of the high places of the earth. And we said that the high places are the mountains, and we talked about seven mountains or seven spheres of influence, where you talk about media influence, you're talking about political influence, talking about economic influence, talking about educational influence, talking about the family influence. All the seven major mountains that Satan now occupies, that the church is coming in and we're going to take control over. So as this is happening, now we're battling for some things, because you can't climb that mountain unless you have to climb it, of course, within the rules and standards and whatnot that God has set up. But the idea about it is that we take possession of those mountaintops, because whoever controls the top of those mountains, of course, controls that entire sphere of influence. So we want to make it so that those things which are right in God's eyes are the things, are the standards that are in this earth and are being practiced and produced in this earth. Now, as we go on, we talked about how the church had lost its identity, meaning that sometimes if you hang too close to the world, we call it the law of association. We are in the world, but not of the world. The law of association says either you're becoming like me or I'm becoming like you. Well, that's good if who you're associating with is a good person. But when the idea about it, if they have unbelief, what you don't want to do is pick up the unbelief and let go of what you believe. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm saying now, in this, the church is supposed to be the most powerful influence in this earth, that people ought to see leadership coming out of the church, that the church should not be just full of leftovers, not full of people just, I'm too old to do anything else, so I guess I'll go to church. No, the church is supposed to be full of people who are strong, who are skilled, who are people who've got wealth, people so forth and so on. Are you following what I'm saying? Am I talking to the right bunch? Okay. So what we're doing is changing this entire paradigm. And that's what we have to do, because a wrong picture of the church has been communicated. I remember that man, what he said, he was looking for this man in the airport. The man was a bishop. He was coming to town to speak. And the man was supposed to pick him up for the pastor. But he went to pick him up at the airport and didn't see him. He then looked and looked and looked and kept looking and so forth. And pretty soon he asked the man sitting there, are you Bishop so-and-so? He said, yes, I am. He said, Bishop, he said, I've been looking for you for 3 or 4 hours. He said, what happened? Your plane? He said, no, I've been here all the time. He said, but Bishop, you don't look like your picture. He had a picture of Bishop 20 years ago when he had a big afro out and so forth and so on. My point to you is that the church is not looking like itself in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the church was turning cities upside down. And I'm just saying it's a place now that we can get back to that. But we first got to get our identity crisis solved. We got to get back to who we say we are. What we said is that the enemy has been cleverly being able to do maintenance on our ignorance. What he has done is he has tried to pull us down to the level of a natural man. And when I say that, I mean, one of the examples that I use is this whole idea of church and state. The church and state. And it makes it seem like the church is no more powerful than the state. Got news for you. If it wasn't for the church, it wouldn't be no state. I'm here to tell you right now that the church is so far above the state until it is pathetic. I'm saying here now, let's go into the scriptures. Are y'all with me here? So let's go and look at some things. Let's go and look at Ephesians and chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. If I'm going too fast, tell me and I'll speed up. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 1. So it's very necessary that you and I figure out who we are. He said, you didn't choose me. You didn't have enough sense to choose God. God chose you. I said, he chose you. He said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any of y'all would even boast. So I'm just saying we didn't choose him. And I told you that example I used about me with Bennett, that one before I got saved, and I was out with the boys late at night, and I'm looking, you know, we went in clubs and so forth. Here we are in there, grouped together, and I see a young lady looking at me, and I wasn't married, and I said, okay, uh-huh. And I backed up from the boys to see if she was still looking at me, and I checked out. She was still looking at me. Then I closed back in to the boys, and I said, boys, I don't know how much long I'm going to be with y'all. Look like I've been chose. Praise God. Look like I've been chose. Now, my point to you is I was chosen. I was picked out of a group. You were picked out of a group. Some of y'all, the first people in your family to ever get saved, our first people at your job to ever be saved. I'm saying you were picked out, not so you can stay out, but so you can get built up and sent back in so that the people can have a way back to God. So now, what am I saying? Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's start reading here at verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling of your calling, his calling, pardon me, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in the world which is in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his who? Which is his what? Body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, I like that word, fullness. Praise God. Now, where is Jesus now? He's seated. What is he doing up there? He's sitting down.
Amen.
Amen. All right? He is the head of the body. But he's been raised up, seated, far above all principality and power. Now, wait a minute. You need to get to Greek and to a Greek scholar to tell you what that means. It means far, 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 far above all principality and power and dominion. And every name that is named. Every name that is named. What's a name? Cancer. That's a name. He's far above that name. Meaning that he has tremendous authority over that name. You got what I'm saying? Now this is him now. This is Jesus. And he said that he is the head of the body. But then it goes down to Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, he says down here in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together. Keep going. And made us, keep going, sit together, come on, in heavenly places, come on, in Christ Jesus. Now, what did he make you do? Sit. Where are you? I'm in heaven. What am I doing? I'm sitting on top of the world. Okay, now, go over to Revelation chapter 19, please. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this is because I want you to be able to identify who you are. Because the world has told us that we came from a monkey. And I'm here to tell you that we are made in the image of God. Say amen to that. I'm saying Satan has always been trying to get us on the level of an animal. From the garden on. Folks, I'm telling you, this, and you find those people, evolutionists, and you'll find that they make those films and they show how man evolved over this. Now, I don't have nothing to do with that. I'm saying you where I came from. I'm telling you where Adam came from. Say amen to that. And you are made in the God class, not in the plant class or animal class. You can't, that's why he's giving you speech. And man is the only one that can use words. Well, a parrot can speak, but he don't believe nothing. You're the only one that can speak. I've seen some people on TV. They had a little old dog, and that dog was supposed to say hello or something. And they had the man said, okay, Roscoe, say hello. And you know, I said, now what in the world is that? My point to you is that you are the ones that are made like God. Say amen to that. You are the ones. Say amen to this. You've got the spirit. Animals don't have that. They have a soul. My point to you is this is your time. So now God is putting you up there and you seated with him. Well, I see why you're seated. Because over in Revelation chapter 19, he says something about it. He says over in verse 16, and he hath on his vesture, talking about Jesus, and on his thigh a name written. King of who?
King.
King of who?
King.
King of who?
King.
And Lord of who?
Lord.
Well, who are the lords and who are the kings he's talking about? That's us. That's us. So you are royalty. So you notice what I said about you. You are the only ones that can sit down in God's presence. Angels can't sit. Cherubims can't sit. Can't nobody sit but you. And the reason why they can't sit is because they're not royalty. Now I'm telling you, you got something to say about what goes on in this earth. And God said to Joshua, every place the sole of your foot, come on, help me. Your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. Let's go further. There shall no man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Say amen to that. Now, when he said, no man shall be able to stand before me, no man can stop me, I said something. I said, no one can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. And let me come over here. No man, no person, no organization, no government can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. was Joshua and Caleb, they were two people that gave a good report. They said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. The other said this, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. In our own sight, we're as grasshoppers, and so we are in their sight. Notice, all 3 million of those people didn't go. Only two went, Joshua and Caleb. But notice, all 3 million voices against two men still couldn't stop two men from getting their possession. And they can't stop you. They can't stop me. Say amen to this. Folks, you gotta rise up and know that if God be for you, there ain't a man that can stand against you. I don't care where you've been. Well, I've been married 5 times. That's just 4 dumb mistakes you made. Now make this one work. I've been in jail. That any man that's in Christ has just become a new creature. You better hear what I'm telling you. Stop trying to write yourself off and write yourself in. God has said something about you. You take what God said. And God be true and every man be. God didn't say it. I don't believe it. We going in. I said we going in. See, I made up my mind. If don't nobody in the earth get theirs but me, I'm getting mine. I ain't letting the devil keep my stuff. He owe me something. He owe my granddaddy something. He owe my granddaddy's granddaddy something. And this is the day of payday. This is a recompense. God said you're going to reap what you where you didn't even sow. That's me. Are y'all with me? Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? And stop making excuses and complaining and all that. God says you're more than a conqueror. God says he always causes you to triumph. God says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God says it, that settles it. There ain't no dispute. Church and state, get out of here. Them Bibles never should have come out of them schools. They came out because the church folk didn't know who they were. Come on now. Don't get quiet on me now. You turn to Daniel 6. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Daniel 6. The devil is a liar and his mother-in-law and everybody with him. Come on over there, Daniel chapter 6. I ain't got much time. Y'all just woke up. I've been here all day, praise God. Daniel chapter 6. Well, tell you what. Let me tell you what it means. Because I got to move. Y'all got me preaching here. I ain't staying here all day. I'm flowing. That's why. Oh, yeah. They made a royal statute. And the royal statute said, hey, you can't pray before any other god for the next 30 days. What did Daniel do? Come on. Went up in the room, opened it. I don't believe he just prayed. He prayed in tongues. And they came after him, all right, with capital punishment. But notice, they threw him in the lion's den the lions wouldn't touch him. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. I was looking at a movie one time and they said, who is the judge? I said, God. I said, well, why is God the judge? Because he alone decides who wins or who loses. I'm on God's side. I just want to be on God's side. Oh, yeah. The angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear the Lord. They came after Jesus. They said, don't you know we can do this to you and do that? He said, wait a minute. I don't think you understand. Let me take this moment to teach you something. He said, if I want to, I could pray the Father, and he would send 12 legions of angels, and they'd tear this place up. Now, wait a minute. A legion. That's either 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 6,000. Let's take the minimum number, 2,000. 12 legions. 2 times 12, 24. 24,000 angels. Now, over in 2 Kings chapter 19, one angel destroyed 185,000 men in one night. One angel. 12 legions. Now, how fast are they? Well, one scripture said they move at the speed of lightning. How fast is lightning? 186,000 miles per second. Well, now, if that be the case, and one angel can circle the earth 7.5 times in a second. So they can be on the job in just a minute. They don't need it. Come on now. See? Now, rather than looking at CNN and talking about how bad it is, you need to look at the good report and talk about how good it is. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why y'all got to come in here. But what I want you to do is come in here and build on what you got last time. I don't want you to come in here, get what you get, then go out there and let the world take that away. Then come back in here. I got to take you back up, you know, two steps forward, two steps back. That's what I don't like. I like you to come in here, get it, and build on it the next time, the next time, the next time. And pretty soon you can move mountains with your own faith. Say amen to that. All right, now where am I right now?
Daniel.
I got to come out of Daniel because I got to go. All right, so the church. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, please, because we're going to the other side. Now, God gives us a destiny. He gives us an assignment, things that we're supposed to do in this life. The Bible says a man gifts will make room for him and bring him before great men. God gifts everybody that he brings into the kingdom because we have a kingdom assignment. God wants that fulfilled in the earth. Amen. And that assignment's fulfilled, a whole lot of people's oppression is relieved. Amen. And so now, as we go in to do what God has called us to do, going to the other side, whatever that other side is, then there's a battle. And what we said about the battle is there's a battle in terms of wherever you're going to the other side is always going to encounter, for the most part, a battle. I'm not telling you to believe for it. I'm just telling you it's there. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want you to dispossess him. He doesn't want you to take back any of the land. All right, let's look at this. Mark chapter 4. Woo! Mark chapter 4. All right. Now, stay up with me now because I'm moving kind of quickly. Look what it says in verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, they said unto him, let us pass over to the other side. He said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, care thou not that we perish? In other words, we're going to die. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared what? Exceedingly, saying one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I'm not going to get a chance to finish all this today, but I'm going to try to finish it next week because we need to talk about the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, now here's what we said, and this is a statement that we made. Battles are necessary to get to where you are going. Battles are necessary. Now, Jesus, and if you look at his life, he fought every step of the way. But the idea about it is that we always win. For every challenge, there is a triumph. And so you and I, whether we start a business, is a battle. Whether we're raising children, is a battle. Where we are trying to keep healthy or keep our weight down or keep sickness off our body, whatever, there's a battle. I'm just saying that the enemy seems to be there at every turn. Now, so as they're going across here, here comes a storm. Now, the one thing I want you to just get in your mind clearly is that the storm was not from God. Because if it was, Jesus couldn't have rebuked it. Now, you just listen to what I'm saying. I'm the preacher, so you just take what I'm saying. Okay? Now, when this happens, the enemy, the Greek for that, and I think I told you this last time, but I want to tell it again because this is why I'm going to take off. The waves beat into the ship. Now, the Greek scholar told me that in the Greek, the idea is that these waves are pounding. They're coming up, pounding in the ship, from going up above and pounding down. And he said the idea is that Satan was pounding on their minds. He was sending things against their mind and bombarding their minds, just one thought after another. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been there. And I've been there one time. I went to Uganda a few years ago, and I was going there to preach, and we were going to preach a crusade. And then I got to Kampala, and they picked me up, so forth, hotel. And then he said, Pastor, we'll get you early because we're going to leave. I said, leave for where? He said, going out to the crusade site. I said, okay. I said, in town somewhere? He said, no, sir. It's about 8 hours from here. I said, 8 hours? He said, yeah, it's back in the bush. I said, wait a minute, I ain't signed up for this. I'm thinking to myself. You know what I'm saying? And so then I said, okay, all right. So we got up the next morning, went out there, and I had Tony with me. He had some of the television equipment and so forth. And I said, okay, now what are we going in? And he said, we're going in this. Now this car, this was one of them real small compact cars that couldn't even hold equipment. I said, we're going in this? I said, well, now I see the window's down and it's running. He said, yeah. I said, now it's 100 degrees out here. Do you have air conditioning? Oh, no, Pastor, we don't have, but we can blow air. When air comes, it'll just blow in there. I said, Doc, hold up. I will take my money and I will rent us a van. And so I got that and got the stuff to where we started on our way. We got all the way back there. By the time we got all the way back there in the bush, and there was a hotel back there, Americana or something. And it had, to my knowledge, to my remembrance, it had two rooms to the hotel. And and the window, I went in my room, and the window was a window. But it had no pane, screen, it had nothing. It was just a door, a window. You know what I mean? And now I gotta stay here almost 7 nights. I mean this, I said, oh man. I said, now, you know the malaria and all of that? I said, okay, and they had a net for you to sleep under. So now the first night I laid down. And the first thing that the enemy shot, there is a coral snake gonna climb right in the window, and this will be your last night here. Now I'm gonna tell you something. Sound funny to you, wasn't funny to me. Bombarding my mind. And I went over in the scriptures and I found it. I had to get up and read the Bible. And I found the scripture says, God gives his beloved sleep. I took that scripture and began to meditate it. slept like a baby.
Amen.
But I'm just letting you know, bombard my mind. What's going to come in there? An animal going to come in there. Snakes going to come in there. Now, I know it might not seem much to you, but you get in that situation. Now, I'm just saying how it came against their minds. It was beating up their minds. You're going to die. This is going to be your last journey. You're going to die. And then they got mad at Jesus. They said, hey, you know, wake up. I mean, don't you care? We're about to die. Now, he had to be sleeping for faith because that was some rough water out there. Am I right about it? All right. So what happened? He woke up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still, and there was a great calm. Then he turned to them, he said, I don't understand. Why are you so fearful? Now I'm talking about the power of the church to stop a hurricane. See, somehow we haven't practically applied this. We still church versus state. We're still trying to cook chicken dinners and keep the lights on. Folks, there ain't enough chickens in Illinois to do what God's called us to do. Amen. And so forth. So what happened? They feared exceedingly and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Didn't Jesus say the things that he did, we should do also? That's the church. Folks, we are indispensable. We're the world's only hope. We're it. When we go places, we're supposed to relieve oppression. Talk about being broke. I was preaching the faith refresher just a couple of days ago. Hey, brother came up to me and said, Pastor, I got a good idea. I said, do you? I said, yeah. I said, here, no, let me give you one of our people so you can talk about it. I said, how much will this idea net us? I mean, what kind of thing is this? He said, oh, it's a good idea. I said, what kind of money are you talking about? He said, about $1 billion a day. I said, you got an idea, brother. That's God. That's God. See, for what God is telling us to do, this chump change, this little bailout, this little this and that. I'm telling you, folks, we got something to do out here. It is huge. It is huge, folks. Are y'all with me? This, and we're responsible for it. That's why he said in Psalm 82, he said, wait a minute. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the world are out of course. Have I not said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High? Come on. Amen. Folks, I see myself. I'm telling you, when I saw Mother Teresa and she was talking about in that UN in time, and she said, you know, they were giving her that thing, that award, and she said, well, I just want to talk to you a moment about abortion. Oh, Lord, everybody got serious and said, well, what are you talking about? She said, all the children. If you don't want them, just give them to me. Man, that's the way we want to talk. There might be some orphanages we need to build in this city. Come on now. I'm saying, saints of God, let's think that way. Let's get our minds up and start thinking like we're seated there with him in heavenly places. All right, last place. Let's go now and look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Are y'all with me? Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Did he stop the storm? How long did it take? Come on, how long did it take to stop the storm? Now, can I show y'all something? Do y'all believe what you read in the Bible? Do you believe it? I'm going to show you two scriptures. Now, put something right there, because I want to come back there real quick. I got 58 seconds. If I want to show you this. Look at Luke chapter 18. You're going to believe this, aren't you? Luke chapter 18 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Luke chapter 18 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm coming back real quick to this one. I'm covering a lot of territory. Y'all still with me though, aren't you? All right, look at Luke chapter 18. Look at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I feared not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Unjust judge, that's the devil. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them, how quickly? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? How will God avenge them?
Speedily.
How will God avenge them?
Speedily.
When he spoke to that storm, how long do you think it took for it to quit? I can guarantee you did. I'm saying 6 months, 12 months court case is not your inheritance. That ain't your inheritance. You got to see this. We've accepted that because it's tradition.
Amen.
Well, I'm battling cancer. Nothing against that. But I'm telling you, whatever Jesus did, he did speedily.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes we're battling things for years. Come on now. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
But what is the subconscious mind? It's designed to keep you in line with what you believe. And God cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. So he can't work speedily and you believe for a year. Can't do it, folks. He'll violate your will. You believe that. That's not in here. I just ask you, are you going to believe the Bible? Let's go to another place. I'll show you another place. Let's back this up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And listen, I don't want y'all to get mad at me. Just call Jesus up. Y'all know y'all used to sing that song. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Huh? Didn't we used to sing that song? You better call him up if you got some problem with this. Don't be calling me up.
I ain't mad.
You ain't mad at me, huh? Okay. All right. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Look what it says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we what? Faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is what?
Renewed
day by day. Talking about two men now. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a what?
Moment.
Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while, that's a semicolon, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the, which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. But the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. I'll tell you why it takes so long. I'll tell you why it doesn't take momentary. The reason why is because folks ain't looking at the word. They're looking at their problem. And as long as you look at your problem, it's going to be heavy and long. But if you switch over to the Word of God and look at the Word of God, it's going to be light and momentary. Praise God.
That's it. That's it.
You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One more place. Second King, please. Come on. I got 1 minute and 3 seconds. I believe I can do it.
Oh, yes, sir.
Did you come for the Word of God?
Yeah.
Boy, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
Going through something all the time. You see somebody. How you doing? I'm going through. You better get through because you're going to get your head beat in, man. Come on, get through there. Praise God, man.
Right. Right.
This is our time, saints.
Amen.
We are going to manifest the sons of God. sons of God is not just the offspring, it's the maturity. It's people who have gone from milk to meat. God has things for you, but you can receive them in babyhood. There are folks I will not give my car keys to. Do you hear what I'm telling you? For they ain't got enough sense to keep my car. Are you following what I'm saying? 2 Kings chapter 18. How many believers I got up in here?
Amen.
Okay. This is when Hezekiah was surrounded by the Syrian army. They come in to take him too. They have taken all the fenced cities, all the suburbs around. They have taken them. And now they're coming after Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah, you know, he starts backing up at first and giving the doors, the gold off the doors of the temple and everything, trying to buy them off. But how many of you know you can't buy the devil off? Every time he comes at you, he's going to come after more. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you may as well stand up to him while you got it. Oh, what happened now? So he did that, and now the enemy is talking about things about Hezekiah and so forth. Look what he said in verse 19. And Repshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? What confidence in this is this wherein thou trustest? Now, I wanted to read you Hebrews chapter 10 first, but here's what it says. Cast not away, therefore, your what? Confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence. I was playing tennis the other day with the pro. And here he was. Now understand, he was getting me for right now.
Amen.
And I was playing, and so here I am, because he's going to serve now, and I'm going to keep my feet moving, because he's serving, and then the ball comes, and I'm coming after it. Now, next thing I know, he's whipping me. That means he's got the advantage. He's going. And what happened? My feet used to be dancing. Now they're kind of moving. Pretty soon, I'd have slowed down to a halt. He's whooping me like a rented mule. And so what happened? I said, man. So he got me. He said, come in. He said, now, you were telegraphing to me where your mind was. You had lost all your confidence. And he said, now all I got to do is just put a little bit on you. You're gone. And I'm making mistakes, I mean, right after one another. Why? I'm down. When the enemy starts coming against your mind, you keep dancing. You keep dancing because, listen now, you got to keep your confidence up. Now, I can't go over to it right now. Over in Proverbs chapter 24, it tells you how to keep your confidence up. It says knowledge keeps up your confidence. Knowledge keeps up your confidence. So if you look at too much of CNN, too much of how bad it is, then your confidence starts sinking in God. So you got to get back over to the Word of God. Come and hear one of them sermons that's going to poke you back up again and start dancing again. Get ready for him again, because you're about to whoop him. You follow what I'm saying? See, with confidence, if you don't fail, you're going to finish. You're going to defeat him. If you don't fall out of the race, you will defeat him. I'm talking to somebody over here right now. If you don't fall out, you're going to finish. You're going to defeat him. Because God's going to always cause you, come on, to triumph. He bombarding Hezekiah. You read it. Bombarding his mind. That's what the enemy does. Now, you follow what I'm saying? It's a tactic, you know? And look what it says if you go on down in verse 29. Thus saith the king, this is king of Assyria, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Okay, meaning, notice now he's trying to get them to lose faith in their leadership. That's the enemy. So Hezekiah is done for. I mean, mentally. So he wants knowledge now. So he sends his runners to Isaiah the prophet. Now, they didn't have a Bible like this, but they had a prophet. And so he sends them to Isaiah, say, go get a word for me from Isaiah. And what did he do? He went to get the word. And look what Isaiah said in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, and with which thy servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a what? A blast upon him. And he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to do what? Fall by the sword where?
In his own land.
Verse 14. They brought the note back, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I've done that myself. I've been in places, I'm telling you, looked like nothing was going right. I took this Bible, opened it up to the place where God promised me something. I put it right there, and I got on my knees. I said, Lord God, thou knowest. I said, I'm going to point to it right here in this word. You said in your word such and such a thing. Didn't he say, put me in remembrance of what I said? I'm doing just that. And look what has happened as a result of him doing that. Verse 20. And Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord of Israel, Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed against me, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have what?
Heard.
Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to have to stop right there. 1 John chapter 5, if you will. Come on, last place. I have heard. Oh, Lord Jesus, I forgot. Lord have mercy. Well, that's all right. They're going to throw it back up on the screen. I just want to show you what happened to him as a result of him hearing. Look what he said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Come on. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is a confidence that we have. Come on. In who?
Him.
That if we ask anything, come on, according to his will, come on, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Did it say we feel like we have it?
No.
It doesn't have anything to do with your feelings. You're walking by faith and not by sight. If you prayed the will of God, he heard you. And all you want to know is, did he hear you? And as a result of him hearing Hezekiah, I'm going to read it. Put it up on the screen, please, of 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 37. Then came Eliakim. Oh, wait. 19, pardon me. Verse 35, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. I'm talking about one angel, one night, came to the Assyrian camp and destroyed 185,000 men that were coming against Hezekiah, the man of God. I'm here to tell you right now that notice it didn't take 6 months to fight that battle. It didn't take 1 year of being in court back and forth. It didn't. If you will believe, it will take you 24 hours to get that problem solved. I'm not just talking about a court fight. I'm talking about your money. I'm talking about your health. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your future. I'm talking about your business. You can be out in 24 hours. And I'm talking about you can be out speeding. How many believers do I have in here? If you can't believe it, God can't do it through you. That's your inheritance. Now, the next time we're going to go on a little bit further, and we're going to go on into the fact that God wants you to grow up. He wants you to get off of milk and get on to some meat. Say amen to that. But after you finish meat, I'm going to show you where you can get into honey. Honey, honey is where you don't even know a battle took place. You just give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. It's your time. I said, God's going to take you from noisemakers to newsmakers. I said, it's your time. I said, God is going to distinguish you as one of His people. Come on now. Up until this time, you haven't been known, but they're going to know who you are from now on. And right now, whatever battle you've been battling with, I command that battle to be over within 7 days from right now, in the name of Jesus. I command it. If it's a court case, over in 7 days. Come on. If it's a money situation, over in 7 days. Say amen to that. You believe the prophet and you'll prosper. This is your time. I'm not letting the devil steal from you. What God says is yours. Hezekiah was in that battle. It was looking bad, but he got a word from the prophet. And if you believe the prophet, you will prosper. I spoke it. I said in 7 days, you're going to be out. Sit down. Let me just finish this. I ain't looking to you to confirm to me that's what's going to really happen. I said it, and I'm seated with Him. Thou shalt decree a thing. Where the word of the king is, there's power. Folks, if nothing else, all you got to do is agree with me. Because where two on earth agree, it shall be done for them. Did y'all get something out of this today? Now don't go back out there and get among a lot of unbelief and start talking crazy. God spoke something about you. Your name is in the paper. So God wants you to have your inheritance. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Boy, I feel like going on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're growing up now. We're growing up now, because there were things God couldn't get to us because we were still babyhood. But we're growing up now. We're not gonna try to feel it before we receive it. All we want to know is, did the Lord hear? Because if He heard us, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. All right, before you leave, before anybody leaves, there is these promises are first for God's people. And the one thing you need to understand that That You and I need a Savior. We can't make it without Him. I don't know about you, but I tried. It didn't work out. I ended up sick in my body, head over heels in debt, failing at IBM. But somebody came by my desk, because that night I cried on my pillow. I said, "Lord, would you please help me?" And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he shall same shall be saved." I called on him. She came by my place at work. "Bill, you want to go with me tonight?" She looked pretty good. I was single. I said, "Yeah." God knows how to get you to a meeting. But that night, way up on the north side, was a night of conversion. My life was never the same. Not only that, the man of God laid hands on me, power of God hit me, lifted something out of my body the doctor said I had to live with. Not only that, took me totally out of debt, owe no man nothing even today. Not only that, took me to the top of the ladder in sales, number one downtown IBM. What he did for Bill Winston, he'll do for you. How do I know that? Because he's no respecter of persons. He loves us all. If you're here tonight, today, you know that in your life you're not right with God. Now, don't tell me you've been to church. I had been to church, but church wasn't in me. I'm saying to you now, you know that something's missing. I want to pray with you. I came to this town to meet you today, to introduce you to Him. This is your day. He said, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. So if you're here, you know I'm talking to you. Please, don't resist Him. Give me the privilege of praying with you the prayer they prayed for me that night that saved my life forever. If you're ready for it, He's ready for you. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith for me. Get up out of your chair and come up and stand with me right here. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it.